Welcome to Global Leader Radio, sponsored by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, discussing ideas that matter with people who care. Now here's your host, Director of Business Development and Instructor of Management for the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, Alvin Miles.
Well, happy Tuesday and welcome to episode 40 of Global Leader Radio. And the purpose of our show is to educate our audience, highlight our guests, and add value to all who seek to optimize their leadership acumen. So we achieve this purpose by providing our learning community with key takeaways, including resources and advice that have led to the personal and professional success of our guests. And we've got a great one today. So today's topic is community involvement, and we seek to begin a conversation focused on the question, is community involvement key to business success in a global world? So joining us as our in-studio guest for today's show, we welcome Mariela Romero. So Mariela is the Community Affairs Director for Univision Atlanta since 2010. And her current position takes her all over Georgia, interviewing various community leaders for her weekly show, Nuestra Georgia. In this show, Mariela delves into the wide range of topics from health and wellness to financial literacy and education. And throughout her years in broadcast journalism, Mariela has received 8 Emmy Awards, and that's a record for our show. Just want to let you know. 8 Emmy Awards from the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences in the Southeast region. Overall, Mariela is a true professional and a seasoned veteran, as her television career spans close to 2 decades over several countries, but you would never know it by looking at it.
Thank you.
So given that overview, we welcome Mariela to today's edition of Global Leader Radio. So Mariela, how are you today?
Thank you so much for having me, Alvin. It's a pleasure and honor. But I think we have to warn the audience about something. The microphones today were donated by Univision, so that's why the accent, you know. The microphones identify that I am a Latina, so they give me the accent automatically.
I love it. So please tell us a little bit about your background, starting with your original birthplace, your home, and a bit about your work experience, and then take us up to the present.
Yes, I was born in Caracas, Venezuela in 1970, so I'm not afraid to say that. And growing up, I moved to different countries because my stepfather, he used to be a diplomat. So when I was 10 years old, we moved to France. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, in 1982, we moved to Mexico. Mm-hmm. We lived there for 2 years. And afterwards, we lived in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Mm. And that's where I finished high school and went to college, to the University of Buenos Aires. De Belgrano, mm-hmm. Universidad Católica, the Catholic University, and Centro de Estudios de la Comunicación. So I studied journalism, communications, and video production.
And that was your first love?
Yes. Well, to be honest with you, my first love was philosophy. Uh-huh. But my parents were so terrified when I said that I was going to major in philosophy. They said, "You're not going to find work anywhere." So they knew that I love voiceover and you know, radio in general. So they said, "Why don't you study journalism and then you can have a career in broadcast, but you will be more educated more formally. Not only you will train your voice, but you will be trained in other areas, in writing, and you will be able to be more eloquent and have a more rounded career." So I did listen to my parents, and I studied journalism. And then I went back to Venezuela, and I worked at a national network, Televen.
Okay.
But then the opportunity came to come to the United States. My husband at the time, he was working for HBO in Latin America. And the competition here wanted to hire him to broadcast some movie channels to Latin America. It was a partnership between Universal, Columbia, 20th Century Fox, and MGM, and the company is called Lab TV.
Oh.
And they broadcast I don't remember the name of the movie city, Cine Canal, and the Film Zone. So and those are the competitions of HBO in Latin America. So that's how we came here to Atlanta. In my first job here in Atlanta was at Georgia Public Broadcasting, a show called Salsa.
Salsa.
Yes, it was. It is still airing on WUGA, and it teaches little kids to learn how to speak Spanish.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So was that a show you actually began, or was that?
No, I was the Spanish consultant. Okay. So they had writers and puppeteers, and I just came in at the second season, and I was just a Spanish consultant, and I wrote the lyrics to the songs, and I sang some of the songs in the show. So it was a lot of fun working there.
Well, that sounds like a blast. So that was that part of your hobbies and kind of the things you like to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That falls right in.
In Argentina, I started with music, and I sang a little bit. And then in Venezuela, I met a wonderful, he's an amazing singer called Claudio Corsi. Mm-hmm. So together we wrote several songs. And as a matter of fact, in 2009, he was nominated for a Latin Grammy. And one of my songs is featured in his nominated album. So
wow. Yes. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and I would love to be able to write more, but I don't have any time now.
And your singing voice is pretty good
for children's songs. Yes.
I love it. So now, considering that you grew up and were born in Caracas, but migrated over to France, Mexico, and Argentina, did that broad exposure really help to drive some of the topics you focus on today in your show?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yes, because I've been an immigrant throughout my life, so I know what it is to be a citizen of the world.
Okay.
And I know the experiences that I live myself. Of course, I was in a different position because being a diplomat or the child of a diplomat is a different experience.
Yes.
But you still are uprooted from your costumes, and you have to get used to a new environment and new people,
new
loyalties.
Social norms.
Exactly. Yes. So it taught me a lot, and I think I carry those lessons to my life here in the United States, and especially to the work that I do right now with the Hispanic community in Georgia.
Well, good. Well, let's go there next. So being the community affairs director, what exactly does your roles and responsibilities, what all does that entail?
Well, the first thing that I have to take care is of our responsibility as a station to comply with the FCC.
Okay.
And so we have to prove that we really cater to our community, and we talk about the topics that our community wants to learn about.
That's an FCC mandate.
Exactly. And those are the public files that every TV station and radio station is supposed to have.
Okay.
So, everybody can go online to the FCC website and look up the public files for any station. And if you don't see, that your the topics that they cover are of your concern, you can, file a complaint. So my job is to be very responsible with the topics that I present to my community. For example, if there's a lot of crime in Atlanta, the FCC doesn't look for if we cover those crimes. Mm-hmm. But, for example, they look for topics, how to prevent crime, what are citizens doing. Those are the topics that I am responsible for bringing to our viewers.
Okay.
For example, I don't know if you remember when there was a horrific crime, Jorelis Rivera, the little girl who died. So one of the things that I did on my show was to bring an organization that teaches kids how to protect themselves.
Okay.
And you know, we talk about what parents can do to be more proactive mm-hmm. and teach their kids about safety.
Okay.
And those are the things that the FCC really looks for in TV stations and radio stations to be able to provide those kinds of contents to their listening audience, to their viewers.
And that's got to be pretty important for your audience as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, hugely important.
Hugely important. So what that is my first, you know, role right. at the station. Then I also have a component of public relations. I go to every function. And, you know, I am really up there with the business community, with the grassroots level, everything. We have health fairs. We have town hall meetings. We have events where we exercise with our audience. It's called, that campaign is called Únete al Reto. So we know about the, you know, childhood obesity epidemic in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So we want parents and children to be more active. So we go once a month to a park and we exercise with the community and we have tips on air. We have a trainer. He's fantastic. And he, you know, teaches us how to exercise without signing up to a club or anything. And you know, we bring those types of content to our audience.
So you serve as the face of Univision too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. And, you know, hosting the community affairs show every Sunday mm-hmm. at 6 p.m., you know, that's people see me. And also I have a segment on the news on Thursdays called Enfoque Comunitario.
Okay.
So during that segment, I show what I'm going to be broadcasting on Sundays. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there is a topic that, you know, a town hall meeting that I'm going to be presenting or moderating, I let the audience know during that segment.
Hmm. So certainly your show airs on Sundays at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And are you a single host or you have a co-host? Or
I am a single host, but sometimes I have someone participating with me. For example, our creative director, he was a co-host one time when we did a special about Road Atlanta because he loves cars.
Okay.
So it was his brainchild to have a show about car racing and how that can be a career. We interview Colombian car racer called Carlos Llanos, and we interview him about, you know, what it is to be a pilot and how can people get into that career.
Wow. Hmm.
So sometimes I have someone that co-hosts with me, but mostly is myself.
Okay. Well, so there is hope for me.
Yes.
Somewhere in the future,
yes.
Right? Now, you have to remember, I do have a face made for radio, not for television.
No, that is not true. But you will have to find those special microphones.
That's
and you
right.
can be dubbed automatically.
Exactly right. I love that. So tell us a little bit about your audience through Univision and so how you work to really impact the lives of others through your job, but I would dare say it's probably more of a labor of love, but we'll call it a job.
Yes.
Okay. So a little bit about the audience. Well, give me a feel for the demographics, age
yes.
ranges, those types
yes.
of things.
Yes. Well, the Hispanic population here in Georgia is pretty young, so you will be surprised, mostly in their 30s and lower.
Okay.
And a lot of children. And mostly, they come from Mexico.
Okay.
It is the, like, 70% of the population here in the metro area. Then we have a large population from Central America, Salvadorian, Guatemala, and Hondurans. And then we have a big Colombian population, Peruvian, Ecuadorian, and Venezuelan as well.
Sounds but like well represented.
Yes, yes. I, you know, we can find every community represented here in Atlanta, and that is a wealth of culture.
Okay.
And also you will find, for example, that most of the Hispanics coming from South America come here to work in corporate America. You will find that well represented in AT&T now,
right,
used to be Bell South. You will have a lot of Venezuelans in Coca-Cola. You will have Venezuelans, Colombians, Argentinians, Mexicans. but also you will have all the other jobs that are more on the rural side, and those are, you know, people more from Central America and Mexico. And that community is I love working with at the grassroots level.
Okay.
And that is one of the things that makes Univision so different from other TV stations, because we behave more like a radio station than a TV station.
Interesting.
In the sense that we almost have like every weekend an event, and we are out there with the community.
Ah.
So you don't see that too much in other TV stations, because they don't need to, but we feel like our community needs us more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we do a lot of educational town hall meetings. We do immigration town halls so people get informed in the newest laws and all of that. Health fairs, you know, we're having one on July 20th in Gwinnett County.
Mm-hmm.
So people, you know, can check their blood pressure, if they have diabetes.
And get it for free.
Exactly, exactly. So because we feel that our community needs it more, we are with them closely. We had walks in the month of March. We had, or April 7th, we had the first Hispanic Health Coalition walk.
Wow.
On the Beaufort Highway corridor. It was very successful. More than 700 people came and support that walk. So we, you know, that's it. And it seems like every weekend I am busy with an event. And sometimes I don't have time for my family. But when I am working with the community, and I make a point of bringing my son with me,
okay,
to most of those events, because he understands how important the work that I do is.
Yeah.
And he's 13 now, but he really gets it, and he helps. He helps me, you know, some of our clients that come to those events, if they don't have a Spanish-speaking employee, my son is the interpreter.
He handles the translating.
Yes,
that's
yes.
Too good.
And he knows what it is to work with the community. And I've been blessed to meet the kids. For example, when we do the town hall meetings, the students that come and they want to work hard and they want to get an education. And you know, that fulfills me in ways that another job will not.
Yes, yes. So when you think through your work and that labor of love piece of it, could you ever see yourself doing something other than community affairs?
Yes, because I've done it.
Okay.
I know that I am, you know, I work public relations.
Okay.
I used to be a news person at CNN,
okay,
radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I have the capacity, but I have fallen in love with this.
It's just
community.
A fulfillment,
yes,
that you get out of this. Okay.
Uh-huh. So
okay.
In a way, if I could work, for example, if I had to work in another corporation, I will request that I work for community corporate responsibility or something like that, because that's where my passion is, where I see myself.
Hmm. So when you think about this whole community affairs sector and this whole genre, is it more about a movement, or is it really something that corporations focus on from a perspective of, you know, we need to check this box or we need to go here? Is it really about the movement for you? How do you view it?
I think it, like many things, it starts with checking a box,
mm-hmm,
but I've seen a movement develop, and as new entrepreneurs come in the game and they start new companies,
mm-hmm,
one of the main things they want to do is give back to the community. I see that all across.
Mm-hmm.
All the new businesses in new technologies, they have a strong component of community. And I think that they have realized that it translates into good business as well.
Exactly.
And I also, let me tell you, that I believe that many of them have figured out that women, we pay attention to the corporations, the companies that tap into the community and give back. Because when we see those commercials, you know, the commercials that they say, if you buy this week we're going to give $1 to Children's Hospital, or we will help educate girls in Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, those really stick with us.
People pay attention to
yes,
that.
Okay. Yes, and especially women. Hmm. And so I think the corporations are paying attention to that, and they are realizing that it makes sense, business sense, to do that. And I also believe that if you create a strong, if you have more people receiving goods and services, and you will have a better society, and then businesses will become more stronger. So there's no reason why not having a community involvement plan in a corporation. I think it makes total sense.
And that's what you work with companies to help devise that plan?
Well, what I do is, for example, when I receive every nonprofit organization that wants to have a voice on Univision. Hmm. If the American Red Cross comes and they say, Mariela, we have this campaign and it is very important, my job is to open the doors to them and show them how to reach our community. So I will work with them. We will create messaging, PSAs. We have done that for different companies, for different nonprofits. For example, StoryCorps, when they had their Historias initiative, they came to us. We developed a PSA. And we have done so for different organizations.
Okay.
But if a business, a corporation, has an initiative that wants to reach our community, I find ways to present that to our audience as well.
Okay.
So I can invite them to my events, and if they donate bags, if I do a town hall meeting and they want to donate 500 bags, I invite them.
Got it.
And that's a way to support
them.
Exactly.
So it brands the company, and also if they want to brand their goods and give it to the community as well. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. And it makes perfect sense. And Univision has three strong platforms that all community affairs directors around the country, we need to follow them. One is the education platform, mm-hmm. which is called Es el Momento. The moment is now.
Okay.
Yes. The other platform is Salud es Vida. It revolves around health.
Okay.
And the other one is the civic engagement, and that is called Ya es Hora.
Ya es Hora.
It means like it's time now.
Okay.
And that is civic engagement. And, for example, if you are a resident, we advise you how to become a citizen.
Okay.
And, you know, we go through that path of being a responsible citizen and giving back to your community and being involved. And so those are the three main components of our community involvement. And in the events that I create are around those topics.
Hmm. What kind of response have you seen from the community? Are you seeing a high loyalty factor? How do you measure that, perhaps?
Absolutely. When it always surprises us, but it shouldn't, because we are the only full power station in the state of Georgia, Spanish.
Right, right.
So we cover 55 counties on the designated marketing area of Atlanta. So we know that people are watching Univision, but every time that we advertise an event that we are going to be at this forum, or we see the people showing up, it's like, oh my gosh, because they respond and they like what we do and they appreciate it. Hmm. We had one of our Únete al Reto events where we were exercising. One of our viewers, it was her birthday, and she wanted to spend the birthday with us because the talent, you know, the new styling, everybody comes, the staff, and we exercise with our viewers. So for them, it's wonderful to see us there. And you know, we participate every October on the breast cancer walk that the American Cancer Society does. And our viewers come, and they see...
Wow.
From the management to the talent to the staff of Univision, we are there walking to support the cause. So, and I think that's why they they appreciate what we do, and also they believe in what we do. And that's also a responsibility that we take very seriously. And that's what we are very protective of our audience as well. We don't want to advertise something that later will come back and be a harmful thing for our audience. So we are careful.
That's a great point. So another role that you have is to ensure that whatever you're covering mm-hmm. is legitimate, right?
Exactly. Because we have that trust built in mm-hmm. with our viewers, mm-hmm. and we don't want to compromise that.
So how were they being served before Univision came along? Because it seems like you really created quite a niche, or you began serving an area that had a gap before.
Yes, and we have to be fair. Mundo Hispanico is a newspaper. Mm-hmm. We have different newspapers that also cover and talk to our viewers. But, of course, they don't reach all the DMA of Atlanta. But you have the other TV stations like mm-hmm. TV Azteca, Telemundo, but they are not full power.
Right.
And you have radio stations in Spanish also, but the same thing, they cover little areas. But we have many, so right. that's a good thing.
Okay.
And, you know, when I think of the booming of Spanish language media, I think is wonderful because that empowers our community. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that recently I was very concerned about, I learned about the challenges that the refugee community is facing in the area of Clarkston, Georgia. You have Somali refugees, Nepali, from Bhutan. And one of the things that is that they don't have a voice or someone representing them because they are so small communities, you
okay.
know? And I wanted to see in what way we could help stress the needs of that community as well. But, of course, they don't speak Spanish and they don't, you know, they are not as strong it's not a case for Univision to take on.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would every time that I meet a journalist, that I have a forum, I also would like for someone to be that voice and to understand that those communities exist here in Georgia, and sometimes they have tragic outcomes because they don't have a voice, they don't have representation, and that is something that all of us should take care. And as an immigrant myself, mm-hmm. I really feel deeply about those communities.
So help me understand how large a number you're talking about with regard to these folks in Clarkston.
In Clarkston, well, they are you will find a lot of shelters and community centers dedicated to them. I don't mm-hmm. know exactly the numbers,
okay.
but I know that Georgia is the one receiving more refugees right now than any other state. And, you know, they receive federal assistance to a certain point. But the tragedy is for the young men who come when they are 15 or 16. Imagine those children. They were raised in refugee camps. And when they come to the United States, it's very difficult for them to integrate.
And assimilate.
And then most of them end up in prison.
And
that is very, very sad. And the good news is that the little kids, they do really, really well.
Okay.
But it's the teenagers that come as refugees. They're having a hard time. And I think that's something that we, all of us, should address and pay attention.
And figure out a way to get that done, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So do you speak to communities and even corporations about the importance of community involvement?
When they ask me, and when I belong now to a coalition that is trying to help the state figure out how to have every child in Georgia be proficient in reading by third grade. And that includes the English learners, because it has been proven that if you don't read by third grade level, by level when you're in third grade, the chances of you graduating from high school drop dramatically.
Really?
So I belong to this coalition, and we are trying to develop and some recommendations for the state of Georgia, for the Department of Education. So if they implement those things, those changes, the education in our state is going to serve everybody, all of our communities, and the English learners specifically. Because, you know, our populations are, the numbers are very, very dramatic. You will see a lot of kids who are from parents who do not speak English in elementary, in middle school, and they need to, you know, we need to take charge, because the state of Georgia is going to face a crisis later on if we don't educate those children.
Agreed, agreed. So now that's, you're working with the government there, governmental agency there.
Oh, that is not a governmental agency. Okay. It is a coalition that the Atlanta Speech School has been given a grant to form.
Very good.
Yeah, so that coalition has components of businesses, educators, different avenues, different folks, and we are all, even government, and we are just
come together as a task force to try to focus on this particular issue.
That is correct.
So with all the various personal and professional passions you pursue, how do you manage life balance?
You know, that is a fantastic question, and I love that you ask that, because there is not. And I'm being honest, and sometimes it breaks my heart to say this, but it is very, very difficult to find it. And that's where you have to have great communication with your partner and with your kids. So they understand and everybody is on the same page. My husband is a journalist and he travels the world. So sometimes we don't see each other for a long period of time because he's in Syria or the Vatican, and you know, we don't see each other. But sometimes he stays for long periods, so he's able to take, you know, my son to class, to, you know, different events. But I am the one missing out on a lot of family time. And sometimes I try to make it up during vacations. But it is a very difficult position, especially for a woman. You know, I asked, I met Tyler Perry at a forum, and I was able to ask him, you know, what, because he was giving advice to all the entrepreneurs and people how to make it in the business. And I said to him, well, what recommendations will you give to a woman who has children? And he was like, I don't have any advice, because that is a tough one. So, you know, it is very difficult.
Now, I assume he was given that, those type of recommendations as Tyler Perry, not as Madea.
Exactly.
Just checking. Just checking.
It would have been funny if Madea was giving that advice.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, life balance is certainly a very serious issue. And so, you know, at times you're going to be on one end of the continuum or the other. Sometimes there'll be you know, enough time to go around, and then sometimes there's not going to be enough time to go around. So, you know, it's a continual question. It doesn't matter whether or not it's corporate, entrepreneurial, or not-for-profit. It's a continual question, and it's always something that we try to focus on. And here at Global Leader Radio, we like to bring the question up such that they can hear from you and your thoughts really around what that looks like and how you have to balance it and the kind of lifestyles that various people lead, especially when they're following their passions. It's pretty important stuff, which is why we want to bring it up. With regard to, you know, just kind of looking back over your career at this point, certainly you're nowhere near through, but just looking through your career, what are you the most proud of right now?
Wow. Well, let me tell you, it is I'm going to tell you a story, and then you will see what makes me most proud. I was able to be presented with the opportunity to do a community affairs show focused on suicide prevention in teenagers. So when I went and asked for advice from other community affairs directors, you know, it was a topic that was not very well presented across the board at Univision. So I went to my general manager and I said, you know, I want to do this because in Gwinnett County, we had incidents in the same high school, 3 teenage boys committed suicide.
Really?
Yes. So it is a problem for our community, and I want to do this topic. I want to present it. So we did, I give credit to my creative director, Ivan de Miguel. We work on this project for several weeks, and we interview a mom whose teenage daughter committed suicide at 13. So when we presented the show, a lot of people responded. You know, the lines that we would show on the show, so people to call, they receive record numbers of calls. And I remember one time a mom called me and she said, you know, I need help because my son has tried to commit suicide, but in the county that I live, there are no services for undocumented. And I said, you should call this person, and I'm sure you're going to be able to find some way to receive some type of counseling or something. But I never heard back from the lady. So okay. One day, I go to my office, and I see a box with my name, but no return address, not anything else. So I open it up, and it is a frame with an embroidery made by hand, and then a little note, and it was this mom, and she says, thank you. My son was able to receive counseling and he's doing fine. I want to thank you. I made this for you. And that little piece of embroidery is one of the most prized possessions that I have. You can receive Emmy Awards and Gabby Awards and whatever types of award. But, you know, that lady took the time to do that by hand and give it to me. I wish I would have met her and given her a hug, but that makes me really proud that I was able to do that show and to show a topic that it was in some ways taboo. Mm-hmm. And we talk about everything, about even teenage boys who are gay or they think they are and in our community, it's difficult to talk about that. But it's necessary.
Yeah, that's difficult in every community, by the way.
In every community, I know.
And you're touching on those subjects, so that really is. Well, it's easy to see now why you've got 8 Emmys to your credit and why you're so passionate on the subject of community affairs. And at this point, we are actually spending a lot of nice time talking with Mariela Romero. She's the Director of Community Affairs for Univision Atlanta. And you mentioned earlier that Gwinnett County, and I heard you mention Gwinnett County several times, is that the preponderance of where most of the Latinos are, most of your audience lives in Gwinnett?
Yes, okay. Gwinnett County. We have also large pockets in DeKalb County, Cobb County, Fulton, and then Hall County.
Hall County, okay. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why they tend to settle in those counties?
Well, the corridor of Gwinnett County going to Hall County is very important. Hall County has a lot of poultry factories, and that's a lot of Hispanic labor there.
Got it.
And then the Gwinnett County is coming from the corridor of Beaufort Highway in DeKalb going all the way to 85. So that area has naturally grown to have a lot of Hispanics living there, a lot of Hispanic businesses, and a lot of work. And Gwinnett County, with the explosion when we had the robust economy, a lot of construction work was done in Gwinnett, so a lot of Hispanics live there, myself included.
Well, absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. So who have you admired that has impacted your leadership style?
Wow. Well, I think it is a combination, but I would say definitely my parents. Seeing the example of my mother, she got married at 24, and she hadn't finished college. So she was pregnant with me, and she was studying. Then she became pregnant of my sister, and she was able to finish college. And then she ended up being the head of the, she started a career that I don't know how to translate in English, but it is the career that librarians study. Hmm. It is called in Spanish, she's a bibliotecóloga. So, you know, I think.
Is that librarian perhaps?
Yeah, but it is a 5-year study.
Oh, 5-year degree.
Yeah, 5-year degree. Hmm. So, but I don't know how to what is the equivalence in English. And she ended up being the head of all of the libraries for the economy and humanities faculty in the most important university in Venezuela. And, you know, she always taught us how important it is to be responsible in your job and you know, keep your word, be kind. If you meet my mom, you will not, you know, you will see a sweet lady, but she was powerful and she was very responsible, very effective, but very compassionate as well. So I think I learned that from her, from my grandmother. I think the influences that I had from women in my family have been very, very powerful. And then also learning the stories of my grandparents. Mm-hmm. I always like to talk about my grandfather, even though I didn't meet him. But he was a very a man who achieved a lot because someone reached out to give a hand to him. He came from a very, very low income background, and his father passed on when he was young. Hmm. So his mother said, you cannot graduate from high school. You have to work.
Have to work. But have to help the family.
Yes. But every afternoon he was, you know, stopping while he was working. He was stopping at a high school, and he was listening to the classes. And one, you know, many times the principal of the school caught him listening in. So one day he said, please take me to your mom. So he goes to my grandfather's house, and he said, I'm going to make a pact with your mom. You are going to be working, but in the afternoons after you finish your school, and I'll be responsible for you getting the same amount of pay. Mm-hmm. So my grandfather being able to graduate from high school, then he went to have a fabulous career at the University of Venezuela. And nowadays, there's still an award with his name, Emilio González, that is given to the best worker at that university.
Wow.
So I love that idea of that principal, you know, seeing that child and taking it upon him to help him get an education. And I think that is something that all of us should do and help one another. And everybody will become stronger. Everybody will become wealthier, healthier, and the society will be better.
Well, you actually answered the next question I was going to ask, okay. Which is to tell you, you know, my role is certainly to get qualified candidates into our executive MBA program. And I was going to ask, in your opinion, how does having a degree, and particularly a graduate degree, help us to become more attractive to potential employers and help to make a bigger impact in our community? And it sounds like you answered quite a bit of that. So do most of the constituents, the folks that actually watch Univision, where do they fall within that pantheon? Are they trying to get to the high school? Are they trying to finish high school? Are they trying to get to the college degree? Or kind of talk a little bit about that, if
yes.
you'd like.
Yes. Well, that is what our campaign Es el Momento is all about, because we want to foster that college-bound mentality in our community. Mm-hmm. The Hispanic graduation rates are very low around the country, and we know that is unacceptable, and that it will be affecting the economy of this country negatively. So we really stress that all the time. We interview many educators, and we let our audience know that the jobs of the future are not going to be in construction, are not going to be in manual labor. It's going to be in technology, and you're going to have to be educated. So we are trying hard to have our community understand this message and really obtain a graduate degree. It makes your life substantially better because your pay is going to be better. But one of the issues that we are noticing also with our community is that a lot of Hispanics are enrolling in colleges, but they are not finishing in because it is very hard. It's very hard for them to finish. So that is something that we are trying to work on that messaging and trying to teach the kids, the college kids, that they are mechanism
support factors.
Exactly, at the college level, that they need to just knock on the doors
to tap and ask.
Yes.
So what is the biggest, have you noticed that there's a larger issue? What seems to be the reason why they're not finishing once they begin?
And I think they don't know that they have those supports.
They don't know the supports available.
Exactly.
Okay,
I see. And many of the children that really go to college, to their credit, they have done the work by themselves. They, you know, the parents don't help them get the SATs because the parents don't know. So
right.
By the time that they are in college, they realize that they have more work to do, and sometimes it can be overwhelming for them.
Yeah, well, I am responsible for the executive MBA program. I am an ambassador for the Coles College of Business, which is the business school at Kennesaw State University, and certainly an ambassador for the university itself. So what can we do as a university to help to get perhaps some of those students enrolled and keep them in school? I mean, are there some things perhaps that globally you can help us with and we can continue to connect?
Yeah, I was going to tell you the first thing is that we need to have a special on Kennesaw University on Nuestra Georgia.
Okay.
And then have that branding of the university in our, you know,
in your community.
Air. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that is going to make the trust factor there for the university.
Okay.
And you know, we have done a great job with Georgia Tech doing this. Mm-hmm. We have hosted events there. And I would love to have Kennesaw as well. And you know, and I appreciate so much that you are inviting us in you know, trying to reach our community. I really, really, I think it's going to make a difference. And you will be surprised of how many brilliant minds you will find in our kids.
And I can hardly wait because I know they're going to be making a great contribution as well. So I know we spent quite a bit of time talking about perhaps some of the challenges in the community. We also talked a lot about your background and how seasoned and professional you are and award-winning you are. So let's kind of flip the switch just for a few minutes and talk a little bit about your views on leadership. And you talked a little bit about who you admired that has impacted your leadership style, and certainly that's in your own family lineage and a great story about your grandfather and also a great-grandfather in that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you believe are the most effective approaches for developing leaders?
I believe that some things you are born with, some skills, and that is the, you know, your family are the ones who are able to recognize that and foster that and bring that to life. But I believe that everybody can be a leader and be trained to be a leader if you find your passion.
Mm.
I was a very, very shy girl, believe it or not. I never played sports because I was so shy and I was afraid that everybody was looking at me and if I throw the ball incorrectly, everybody was going to laugh. So, you know, I overcame that and it was not my personality. So I learned how to be that way.
In
the fact that I traveled to so many countries and had to introduce myself so many times and become present so many times helped me to do that.
Mm.
So that was a byproduct of all of those travels. I don't think I would have been as outgoing and as less shy if I would have stayed in Venezuela all my life. Understood. Maybe I would have been a philosopher after all.
You need more interactions in order to make that happen, right?
Yes. So some things are the situations that life presents you and how you overcome them that will give you those leadership skills. And always, if you pay attention to what's going on around you, you learn. If you do everything consciously in knowing that you are learning something from that situation, that is a leadership skill that later you are going to appreciate and you're going to use. Taking any job that you have to in order to make ends meet and then go into your career, if you understand the work that you're doing and you're doing it good and you're doing it well, those things that you are learning while doing those odd jobs are also tools in leadership. If you take everything as a learning process, and I think that is one of the most, that has been key for me. I have every job that I was a teacher when, you know, in Venezuela was while I was in between jobs, I've been a kindergarten teacher, you know. And I learned so many things about little kids that have helped me in production. You have no idea.
Really?
Yes, because you have to manage people.
That's
and
right.
Sometimes a crew, they behave like
children.
Yes. So.
Kevin's smiling back there.
He knows that he's right. So if you have been a kindergarten teacher, you learn so many things that later you can translate into other roles.
Nice.
But my point is that you have to be conscious of the lessons that you are learning while doing any job, and that you can transform into leadership skills, into leadership tools, if you really want to lead.
Well, that's truly impressive. I would never have guessed that when you think about the young kids, that they sometimes behave like the older folks, you know, gentlemen and ladies included, right?
Absolutely, because everybody has a temper. And so when you have to, you learn how to manage the temper at the little one's level, you already know how to do it at the grown-up level.
I love it. So what does Mariela do to ensure you continue to grow and develop as a leader?
Well, I also try to be as involved in many different aspects as I can. For example, what I was telling you before about the refugee community, I was presented with options to have learning journeys during this coalition work that I'm doing. And I chose to learn about the refugee community, even though it was not my niche and I could be doing some things to help me create stories for my show.
Right.
I wanted to do this because I wanted to learn about what's going on in that community, even though they don't speak Spanish, they are not a potential client.
Right.
But knowing everything that is going on around helps us become better. I wish more people could do those tours and learn about what is going on around our state and what's going on with different communities and different projects and different issues, because that would make us all better citizens.
Mm. Agreed. Now, how would they go about finding out about these tours?
This is an idea that I had when I was doing it. Those tours were given to us because of part of the coalition.
Okay.
But people can learn about what the immigrant community, the refugee community, if you go to Clarkston and you will find the refugee centers there. If you go to the website and you find refugee centers in Clarkston, Georgia, and you will have the list. And that way you can, you know, make a phone call and say, I want to visit. I want to know. I want to see the programs that you have. They have wonderful programs to educate the parents about the better techniques of. Because one of the problems that they are facing is that when the kids enter kindergarten, they are lacking behind because their parents do not sing to them in their own language. They don't teach them the little things that every kid learns when they are little, the colors. So the parents, as the first teachers, are critical. So you have they have developed some workers that will go into the house and teach the parents how to be the first teachers to their kids.
Really?
In their native language. Because it's proven that after that, the kids will learn English really fast. If they don't have those skills develop in the brain from early on, it's later, it's difficult for them to catch on later.
Interesting.
So it is fantastic. All the little programs that those communities are doing to really improve the lives of those refugees.
Well, that's impressive.
And I think that everybody should be able to learn more about the different communities around the area where they live. It will make them better leaders. It will make them better human beings. It will make them more successful as business owners or, you know, a better society, I believe.
And I agree. And that's the whole point of the question that we have on several discussion boards through LinkedIn, which is about the conversation we were having today, the conversation we're starting today. Certainly, we're not going to end the conversation today. It'll live on in LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook, which is, what is it about community involvement that is really important for success?
Mm-hmm.
And that's at a variety of levels, personal as well as professional. And as we continue to talk about this, what do you wish you knew about leadership much earlier in life?
That's,
of course, you're young now, but even earlier.
I was born in 1970. I said it at the beginning. Let me see. Well, you know what? I always been a team player, but sometimes you can have your ego get in the way, and that is the wrong approach. The best thing is to have more people collaborating with you. That will be working less, and you will get to the top faster. And with people cheering you on, and you can bring them up with you. So teamwork and delegate work, I wish I would have done that faster, sooner. I wish I would have realized that delegating to someone some things that, you know, they need to be done. And sometimes
right.
You think you are the only one who can do it correctly. But along the way, you teach that person how to do it right, and then you don't have to do it. And you can concentrate in doing great and better things.
Well, Mariella, that's exactly what we teach over at the Executive MBA program. We're the only program that I'm aware of that actually has people involved in teams, in the true research nature of teams, because you're on an intact team from day one, and this is a domestic intact team, and that you're with that team until the end of your matriculation over the 5 months. You're not allowed to move between teams, and one of the first things you do as part of this program, your team deliverable, is to develop and turn in and get graded a constitution or team charter.
Okay.
And what this is it, it there is one vision, one mission, one set of operating guidelines. There's consequences that could perhaps get you up to or perhaps even recommendation for dismissal from the program. It's a teaming program. And so with that in mind, you're exactly correct. The things you talk about are exactly what we talk about. It's very difficult in today's society and the way work has gotten much more complex to think that you can do it alone.
Mm-hmm. No.
And you've got to be able to understand how time is leveraged and how work gets done through others and how to strengthen feedback and how to receive feedback and how to use that to be able to make yourself better and how the agility or the speed of learning intensifies and it also exponentially gets faster when there's more people there.
Absolutely.
And how you can learn from peers, and it's not just about the instructor anymore.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Absolutely. And I learned that also. I'm not an athletic person at all. I'm very bad at sports. But I joined classes for Tai Chi.
Okay.
Back when I was working at CNN, and one of the things that I learned from Tai Chi is that everybody, the teacher is learning from you, mm-hmm. even if it is your first time. Mm-hmm. And that was so powerful, that approach to teaching. And you know, to me, the person who was teaching the class, she was a master at the movement she was doing, but she was also following me. And
So you had an influence on the teacher, is the point.
Yes, and that's the way Tai Chi is taught. You can be a beginner and with the master that has 100 years of age, and they are both learning from each other.
Yeah, those masters do tend to live longer, don't
they? Yes.
So it's pretty interesting. You're kind of hitting on our mantra in the Executive MBA program. You learn from us. We learn from you. You learn from each other. And so when you add all of that together, that makes for a powerful recipe.
Absolutely.
Very powerful recipe. Mm-hmm. So we have actually enjoyed our time with you today, and we want to make certain that we ask you the same question that we tend to ask all of our visiting guests, Mariela. So which book has most impacted your leadership ability?
Let me tell you, it has impacted me in all levels, and it is a very simple book. It is the first book that I remember reading that I didn't want to watch TV because I wanted to continue reading that book. And I was 12 years old. But I would say that that book changed my life. And it's not a book about leadership, but I learned so many things. And it is The Diary of Anne Frank.
Wow.
And that book changed me profoundly, because when she wrote that book, she was my same age, but she was going through
a lot,
the horrors, exactly, and she was hidden. And so I carried that book in my heart. I've been carrying it in my heart, because I remember that when I learned about World War II, it impacted my life profoundly, because I spent like 2 weeks crying when I learned what happened and what was done to the Jewish. And I was always asking my mother, but why? What is the difference between a Jewish and a Christian? And she couldn't come up with something that I was like, oh, that's why it happened to them. Nothing. And there's nothing.
No reason was
no
good
reason.
Enough.
Exactly. But one of the things that made me cry for those 2 weeks at night, every night, was realizing how, you know, the human race is capable of doing something like that to other humans. And I carry the book of her book, her diary, in my heart, because she was a courageous person. And she wrote that book, and those lessons that I learned from her life, I always go back to her, and I always try to imagine what she went through and how she was living her life in that world. And if she can, of course, she didn't survive that, but if she was able to live that period and be eloquent and be conscious and be recording of that history, her history, and giving it to us, so I am able to do it. And I think she brings a little a sense of peace to my existence as well, and a reconciliation as well with the fact that we human beings, you know, we are capable of the most horrible things, but also of the most wonderful as well. So that is the book that always, you know. And I read many books about, you know, I like more novels and great literature. I just finished Lean In, and that is wonderful.
Sandberg.
Book. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful book that I recommend to every man and every woman. But I always go to Anne Frank and the lessons that she taught me being such a young age and the maturity that she was able to, she was forced to have.
Well, thank you for that. And on behalf of our learning community, I truly appreciate you for accepting the invitation to join us today. And I'd love to have you back on the show sometime in the future if that can fit your schedule.
Definitely.
And is that a deal?
Yes.
Well, great.
If you invite me, you know, and people, I will bring the same microphone so you get used to the accent.
That's too funny. So with that in mind, can you tell us how our learning community can contact you by either email and or by phone?
Definitely. My email address is mjromero, R-O-M-E-R-O, at univision.net, or you can call me at 404-926-2304. Again, that number is 404-926-2304.
And additionally, as a special thank you for appearing on today's show, we have a copy of Business Acumen 2, and that's insights from the faculty and the friends of the Coles College of Business, and certainly with that great smile, looks like you approve.
Thank you so much, and maybe next time I can quote something from this book.
There you go. So with that smile, we'll bring today's edition of Global Leader Radio to a close, and we invite all our listeners to check our web presence for previous interviews and links to valuable leadership resources. Also, please drop me an email at acm0996@kennesaw.edu if you have recommendations for guests. And for those of you interested in our award-winning Executive MBA program, please go to the EMBA icon on our Global Leader Radio site to connect to us and sign up for an information session. And you know, Mariella, earlier when we were talking about secondary education, post-secondary education, graduate, etc., I failed to mention that this particular class that we have in our Executive MBA, mm-hmm. there's a couple of statistics that jump out at me with regard to our conversation. One of them is that we have 13% of our current class is Hispanic.
Oh, great.
And 13% is good, but it needs to be higher.
Absolutely.
It needs to be higher. And I had a conversation with our recruiter, Julie Miller, who was giving me a few of the comments that people have asked her recently. One of them happens to be about whether or not a business undergrad is necessary or at least best to be able to come into our program. Mm-hmm. And that leads me to another statistic, and the answer is that doesn't matter because 65% of the people who are enrolled in our program come with a non-business undergrad.
Perfect.
So we teach people how to mm-hmm. how to really work well in business using the team delivery concept. So that's important for them as well.
Many people do not know that.
They don't know that, and we're going to continue to put that word out. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So join us again at this same location for the next edition of Global Leader Radio, the show that discusses ideas that matter with passionate people who care. So have a great week.
Global Leader Radio is brought to you by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University. Take charge of your personal development and professional career today by learning more at KSUEMBA.com. And join us next week as we discuss ideas that matter with people who care.